Take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. We'll be reading verses 1 through 7. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. I'd like to have you read along with me on the even-numbered verses. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Let's stand together as we read. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. He was asking him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the great clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. And let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time together this morning. We ask your blessing upon the service today. Be with Pastor Whitman as he preaches this morning, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts today. We pray, Lord, that you'd guide and direct. We pray for that special prayer that Pastor asked for this morning, Lord, that you'd just intervene there and that your will would be done in that situation. We do pray if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, they might come to know you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated and turn to number 173 in your psalm book, 173, the name of the Lord.
Good to see you out, Brother Will, as well, and Erica battling some sickness. Will ended up having to have two stents put in this Thursday, and so we're glad to see you, Brother, out and about, and glad to have you back in service this morning. All right. Hello? If you're glad I'm here, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, take your Bibles, and let's turn to the book of John, chapter number 9 this morning. I'm glad I serve an active, risen Savior that is interested in the affairs of our lives, We don't have a God that's far off. We have a God that's near. And grateful for all that He is. John chapter 9, let's read these verses once again. And Jesus, John 9 verse 1. And Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was born his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Amen. He went his way and washed and came seeing. It's been said, is an island. Everyone touches the lives of so many people, so many different people, in so many different ways. And God uses all of us. God uses all of us within the scope of His plan to fulfill His will and to bear testimony to His name and to His power. Each of us, God uses to touch our lives, all in accordance to not only our present circumstance, but His eternal plan. And so God uses us. The scripture today, this passage we've looked at, illustrates these thoughts so well. And let's just pause for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray today for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I pray that You'd fill me, that You'd hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ, and that You'd exalt His name among us. Father, that the Holy Spirit would still our hearts and minds, and that our focus would be on Your Word and its application in each of our lives today. Bring honor and glory to Your name. If there's anyone here that's not truly born again, may they come to know Jesus Christ today, whom to know is life eternal. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The night cometh. The night cometh. In this passage, we have a very interesting story about this blind man, and his disciples were inquisitive about it and got a very potent answer, which is highly applicable for us today. And then we see the Lord Jesus Christ actually meeting his needs, but there's a whole realm of things that are pertinent to all of us, as many scriptures are. There's always no scripture is of any private interpretation. You can't what you want it to mean. All scriptures have an interpretation, what it means. And sometimes they also have a dual interpretation. They'll have a prophetic interpretation, immediate interpretation to the context and prophetic interpretation. But then there's many applications that can be drawn from passages of scriptures, truths of scripture. We have to be careful that we don't make our applications on the scripture itself, but we draw, we infer applications from truths of scripture based on comparing scripture with scripture. To compare scripture with scripture means to put scripture together with scripture, comparing scripture with scripture. And so this passage of scripture has certainly the immediate context of what took place, but broader context of meaning and truth pertaining to us, and certainly many different applications in our lives. Look, I want to look in this passage this morning. First of all, the needy man. The most obvious of things here, the needy man. In verse number 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Wouldn't I don't think anybody here is of that situation, of course. But how terrible it would be to not see anything. And, you know, just driving down the road, seeing the buds come out. My wife and I drove down Thursday. And, you know, the cherry blossoms were out. It's beautiful. Or whatever blossoms, apple tree blossoms, they're out. And just how beautiful it was to see those, to see them. Amen? To see the green buds come out and, you know, the leaves start to come. To see the beautiful sunshine that's disappeared on me. But anyway, to see the beautiful sunshine and, you know, to see each other's faces. So, Fanny Crosby wrote, "Someday the silver cord mourners now shall see." She was blind. "But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the king. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story. Saved by grace, I shall see him." What a joy. I was pondering, you know, just reflecting on my mom. Mother's Day's coming up, and reflecting my mom, and I can see her face so vividly. You know, and as I talked this morning, singing the chorus and seeing my mom play the piano, you know, and I remember when my mom was here one time and my wife was playing the piano and I said something stupid or funny. It could be both at the same time. And my wife and my mother were making faces back at each other, laughing at what Jim had said. But anyway, but I saw her face. I saw her face. Mrs. Carter, as I've mentioned, my mother-in-law, both having generation, both in their 90s, are losing their sight. They can't read anymore. And both of them always read their Bible every day. And the hardest thing that they both have mentioned to me for them to deal with is not being able to see, to read the Scripture. Can't imagine what it would be like to be blind. Here's a man now, who had been born blind. About this needy man is that he had a need from his birth. He had a need from his birth. He was born in darkness. What a picture of the natural man, is it not? We're born in the darkness of sin and need to be born again, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I remember speaking to Jeremy, who recently gave his testimony here, and we're standing down in the hallway, and I said to him, I said, "Michael, what was it like when you as a Muslim came to realize that Jesus Christ was the Savior and that he died for you and would save you?" And he said it was like going out of darkness into light. Amen. And here's the needy man. We're born in spiritual darkness. John Newton had been a drinking drunk whose mother had been a Christian and prayed for him not to follow the pathway of his father. She'd prayed for him, and when John Newton got saved, he wrote this phrase, which we all are so well accustomed to, "Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see." Needy man. He couldn't see. He was in darkness. This needy man had been blind from birth and needed the Savior. And folks, listen, if you could for just a moment, picture every person that's unsaved around you, whether they're 5 years old or 10 years old or a young adult or a mid-aged person or a senior adult. If they've not come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are blind as this man was. Darkness, headed toward eternal darkness. The needy man here was blind in darkness. And then there's something else here that I think is quite interesting. We have the learning men. The needy man, but the learning men. In verse number 2, "and his disciples." And his disciples. The learning men. A disciple is a follower, a learner. Those to learn from, to imitate and to promote the one they follow. And here's the disciples. They were learners. They'd walked with Jesus. They'd seen Jesus perform miracles. They'd listened to Jesus' teachings. They'd seen wonderful things, and they believed who Jesus was. They were learners, and we ought to be learners. Amen? You don't become a Christian by becoming a disciple, but once you've become by faith in Christ, you should become a disciple. We have many groups that are emphasizing just making followers of Jesus Christ. Judas was a follower, but he wasn't a Christian. Amen? He needed to be saved. And so just following Christianity, following the teachings of Christ, doesn't make a person born again. A person has to receive Christ as their Savior. And then once you've done that, you need to become an avid follower, a disciple, a learner, an imitator, a promoter of Jesus Christ in your life. The learning men, the disciples were learners. Are you, as a born-again Christian, really a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do you want to be like Him? Do you want to speak like Him? Do you want to think like Him? Do you want to yield and submit like Him? Do you want to be used of Him to point others to the Father? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? The learning men, the disciples were learners. I heard a statement years ago in a class. It was an education class that I took in college. And the statement was this: an active mind is a questioning mind. An active mind is a questioning mind. Your kids ask you all kinds of questions. That's a good sign. Amen? You know, how big is God? You know the answer to that, right? Is there anything God can't do? What was it one kid asked you in Sunday school one time? He asked the question, can the devil tell the truth? I forget who that was. Can he tell the truth? No, he's a liar, father of lies, right? He shades the truth with a lie. And, you know, all kinds of questions. When kids ask questions, it's a good thing, and it's a good thing to answer them discreetly and as thoroughly as you can for their age level, right? This public education system that wants to educate children on things they have no business, they're adults and married. But I don't want to go there. Learning men. The disciples were learners. An active mind is a questioning mind. And our questions come from the base of knowledge or life experience we have. If you asked me a question about a car, I know a little bit about cars. They go down the road, right? I know a little bit about cars, and if somebody asked me a question about something specific about a car, I would have an idea if in his mind he had a base of knowledge about certain things. You know, if somebody says, what is a clutch, I really wonder about their knowledge, right? And they think, well, I'm in trouble, I'm in a clutch, right? No. But, you know, they if somebody asked me questions, their base of knowledge, and our questions come from what we know, what we've assumed. And so here, the life experience that we've had. Here, in this passage of Scripture, the learning men had a question. If you would notice in verse number 2, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The question was not on some rude feeling that they had toward this blind man. The question was based on their life experience. That was the way that people thought. Job's friends illustrate that so greatly. When they came to Job, their assumption was Job was experiencing problems. Evidently, Job was wicked. Read them. Job's trouble comforters are you all. And Job slammed them by saying, no doubt wisdom will die with you. They weren't very helpful because their assumption, and God does judge sin, but their assumption was that Job was having drastic problems because Job had done wrong. Certainly the devil feels that way. If things are going cattywampus in our life at times, we think, oh my goodness, what have I done wrong? Not necessarily anything. It may be you have an enemy that's after you, trying to trip you up. They asked, who sinned? This man or his parents? They were learning. Their base of understanding caused them to ask that particular question. And as Christians, as we learn, predetermined opinions need to be changed as we grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't go through life with, I always thought. Always take your thoughts and make them subordinate to the knowledge of Christ. They thought, this man's blind, someone sinned. I'm glad they asked the question. The learning man, this man or his parents. And let me just interject this. It's so important that God's people, when they deal with others who are going through hardships, don't act judgmentally and say, well, you know, you're going through this or that because this isn't right in your life. We're not God, number one. Amen. Number two, we wouldn't want that to be said to us. Amen. We don't know the external stimuli that's caused someone to face a problem. But we do know, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, right? We can always do that. And so the learning man asked, who sinned, this man or his parents? Someone must have. We do know that sin and sickness does come indirectly as a result of Adam and Eve's sin. There wouldn't be sickness, there wouldn't be cancer, there wouldn't be blindness, there wouldn't be any of that if man had not fallen of Eden. But directly, problems in our life are not always directly linked to what we have done. We go on and we see something else here, the plan of God. If you notice in verse number 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be met in him. We know Romans 8:28, don't we? Can you say it with me? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now all things don't work together for good to the unsaved, to the unbeliever. All things work together for good to them that love God. To them that love God. People say, well, you know, everything happens for a reason. All things work together for the good. Not to the unbeliever. To them that love God. To them that are called according to his purpose. We see a plan of God here. Well, Jesus said to the learning men, the disciples, he said, it's not this man that did wrong. Certainly, from the womb, could he have done wrong? No. And those in the country whose lives will be taken from the womb are innocent victims of diabolical actions for which account will be given. The little baby, the infant, he was born blind. It wasn't him that did something wrong, though he's born with a sinful nature. And it wasn't the parents. It wasn't that they had a fight the day before he was born. Because they had a fight the day before he was born. Of course, we know that would never happen, right? Right, of course. They wouldn't get in an argument. Look, as soon as I start having pains, I want us to leave. Well, we'll just wait for a little while to make sure. You know, I'm not saying that happened in my home, but you know, that could happen, something like that. Well, did these people do something wrong that caused that baby to be born that way? No! Jesus said, not their parents. And what he did say this, there's a plan of God. Here's his answer to the learning man, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Before we feel sorry for ourselves in our situation, we need to stop and say, maybe there's a bigger divine plan why God is allowing this in my life. That doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. That doesn't make it better at that time. But the perspective helps us through whatever we're experiencing. Jesus said that the works of God should be manifest in him. God's plans are far greater than our present experiences or circumstances. God uses our situations in life for his glory and for our benefit. Always. Always. When I sent a letter down to Brother Tommy Ashcraft after I found out his wife, in his note to me at the end, he said, God is good. God is good. I'm sorry, Brother Tommy, that your wife went home. But Tommy says, God is good. God uses our situation in life for his glory and our benefit. God also uses our present, listen now, God's present circumstances in view of his eternal plan. It's hard for us. We think and view life, think of life and view life from a finite standpoint. We have a birth date and we will have a death date that takes place. And I'm ready for that one instead. Amen. My dad would say, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. And that's the way we view. Someone said, the dates aren't so important. It's what happens on the dash in between that makes the difference, right? But we think of life from a finite standpoint. God inhabits eternity. And there'll be a time when time is no longer. So we view things from the finite perspective of time, but understand we experience circumstances in time. Hardships in time. But God views those hardships in time in relation to how he wants to use them in his plan for eternity. And then the teaching of Christ, I want you to notice here in verse 4. I must work. You know, Jesus made applications to himself, didn't he? Huh? One of the keys of following Christ and being Christ-like is taking the truth and applying it to ourselves. It's easy to apply it to someone else. Really, the rubber hits the road when we look at the truth and we say, this is how it applies to me. Jesus said in verse number 4, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus said this in teaching. He said, night comes when nobody can work. No man can work. Night comes. In teaching, he said to his disciples, here the opportunity to live for God and do God's will only comes once. Yeah. Our lifetime. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The opportunities today are gone when night comes. Amen? We have our lifetime, but we have each day. And you put your head on your pillow at night, the opportunities of that day are gone because night came. In this lesson, Jesus said, listen, I want you to understand. You have an opportunity, your lifetime, and each day of your life to do what God wants you to do. That's great, isn't it? Amen? We got the opportunity. But it's limited. You remember the rich man that died and went to hell and wanted the drop of water to cool his tongue because he was tormented in the flame. He said, son, remember that thou in lifetime. Night came. And man's opportunity was over. I'll touch on that in a minute. Then there was the miracle of healing. The blind man who had a tremendous need found his help in the Savior. Amen. The Bible says, when he had thus spoken in verse 6, he spat on the ground, a play of the spittle. I bet every young boy that's heard that story has tried to do that, right? Here, you be blind. I'll make spit and put... I'll be Jesus. Give you the blind person, you know. What are you doing? I'm being Jesus. Why'd you do that there? Well, she's playing the blind person. Anyway, all right. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation is sent. Here I've touched you, and I send you. And he went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Oh. Amen. What a difference it makes when we respond to Jesus. When we let him touch us. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he said, come unto me, all you that labor, and I'll give you rest. Call unto me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Or vice versa, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Cast the Lord, and he will sustain thee. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. He found his help in Jesus. Amen. Let me say to you this morning, your need is God can. What a blessing that God met the need of this no-name man like me. Every person has a name with God. We don't know this guy's name. God knows every sparrow. Be nice to them. God knows every hair on our heads. Some are less difficult to count than others. But he knows the number of every hair on our heads. This man mattered to God, and you matter. Amen? You matter. You matter. Who's this guy that's born blind? What's wrong with him? What's wrong with his parents? Hey, come to the Savior. In this story, there's so much more going on in relation to one man's needs. His parents probably had learned to leave their problems in the providential hands of Almighty God. And how thrilled they must have been when their little baby that had been born blind and went through the childhood years and the forming years and the adolescent years and the young adult years blind, how thrilled they must have been when he came seeing. And he touched his mom's face for the first time. Hugged his dad for the first time. There's so much more going on than just the one man's needs. His parents would have learned to have left their problems in the providential hands of God. The disciples, great lesson here. Or many great lessons. From this one man's need. From this one man's blindness. We learn from it today. From the no-name man that was blind. The works of God were made known. Christ's healing power and compassion was demonstrated. One of the signs that he was the promised Messiah was that he dies and made them see. The greater purpose of God was seen through the problem of one man. I think of the story of Joseph. I alluded it to him on my Sunday school this morning, but I think of the story of Joseph. He was hated by his brethren. And I won't go into every detail. Sold into slavery. Servant to Potiphar. Lied about and imprisoned. Forgotten in prison. Promoted as second over all the goods in Egypt, saved his family from famine. Responsible for getting Israel into Egypt from where God would one day deliver them, buried in a coffin, a hope chest in Egypt, looking for the future that God had promised. God, with one man, through his devastating problems as a young person, hated by his brethren, sold when they would have killed him, but then sold for slavery, becoming a servant in Egypt, thrown in prison when he was lied about, left to rot in prison. And then that one man in his circumstance that sinned? No. Was it Jacob that sinned? No. God was positioning Joseph into a position to save his family from famine and to get Israel in Egypt, because God was going to bring out Egypt with a great deliverance, picturing the wonderful salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. God, with Joseph, was making known his great works in and through the problems in Joseph's life. This blind man in our story spent many years in darkness. Ultimately, that the light of Christ could be seen through him. I'm the light of the world, Jesus said. While I'm in the world, I am the light. This man was in darkness so that Jesus, the light, could shine from his life. What is it that you're experiencing today that's heavy on you? Your circumstance or circumstances is or are far bigger than you and your personal realm. God wants to be glorified through you, and your circumstance. A dear friend of my wife's passed away Friday night. You ladies met her. She'd been here and given a testimony, to give a testimony and glorify the Lord, how God had helped her through her cancer. She'd been a cancer victim. When she found out she had cancer, she gave Jesus and said it was his to deal with. I don't have cancer. I gave it to Jesus. Another friend of hers said, well, then we need to pray for Jesus, don't we? She gave it to Jesus and said it was his to deal with. For a few years, she experienced the realities of cancer, the tumors. They were all there. With a few symptoms, she didn't feel sick. And she gave glory to the Lord through it. Amazing doctors. Finally, the Lord called her home. After he had received much glory through her circumstance, she had asked for that circumstance in her life before, if she would have known how much of a blessing it would have been to her spiritually. Today she's cancer-free. Amen. She's in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, in his plan, allowed that in her life for his glory. And she let him use her. Listen. This one man that was blind was being used in many ways to magnify the Lord. In our night, and night comes, night, our times of darkness, God can do his work. In our darkness, God's light can be seen. In our times of darkness, we have opportunity to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what we're experiencing. Jesus said, let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He didn't say, let your light shine if every circumstance in your life is lit up beautifully. He said, let your light shine. And we have light because of darkness. Amen. Let your light shine from the darkness to illuminate those who are in darkness, that we have the light of the world, Jesus Christ. When night comes, no man, but Jesus is the light, and he often works through our darkness in ways that we can never, ever, ever understand. You never know how God is using your darkness to bring light to someone else. In your darkness, look for God to work. Do your work in life before night comes, because night cometh. Night comes when we cannot work, the night of the end of our health, the night of the end of this age, the night of lost opportunity today, the night of our own death, but night comes when we can't work anymore. Someone made this phrase, only one life so soon will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Night cometh. If it's in your life, let his light shine. If it's your opportunity, seize it, because night cometh. Night cometh. If you're not saved, night comes when there'd be no more opportunity. God determines when the sun sets. Make sure you've done what you need to do with the Lord today. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word and for this passage of Scripture from which we can draw so many thoughts. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd help each of us to to do what we can each day when we have opportunity for your glory. And Lord, in the times of darkness, may we do for light and guidance, that your light might shine through us and you can use us in ways we'd never imagine, as you did this blind man. Father, if there's anybody here this morning that's not saved, may they come out of darkness today and put their faith in Jesus Christ, the light of this world, and be saved. Challenge our hearts, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus. Our eyes are closed. No one looking around. I wonder here today would say, preacher, I've been putting off some things that I really need to do as a Christian. Pray that God would give me that stamina to do what I need to do when I have the opportunities in front of me. Pray for me. Would you slip up your hand today? God bless you. Amen. Maybe this week you're going to have a chance to witness to somebody and you're going to think, well, maybe I'll get another chance. Realize you might not. I wonder who would say, preacher, I have to be honest, there's some darkness in my life, things that are happening, that some tough circumstances. But I want to take heart from this and realize God's going to use them for his glory. I'm just going to keep following him and walking with him and letting his light shine through me. Pray for me. Who'd slip up their hand today? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Is there anyone who's not saved? I need Christ as my Savior. Would you slip up your hand, please? Don't wait. Night comes. Night comes. Would you do something about it today? In just a minute, we're going to stand together and sing. And when we do, you take the step forward that you need to take this morning. Maybe you just need to come and pray. Maybe you're coming for baptism this morning. You come when we stand and sing. Go and let God have his way in our lives right now. Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, I pray you'd bless now. Challenge our hearts. May the Holy Spirit use the preaching of the Word of God to help us be more like Christ, less like ourselves. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.